You're on Energy Groove Radio. This is the Music Weekly. My name's Brad. Thanks for joining us on your Friday arvo. Coil Girelli is back with his second solo album. It's called Funland. It's the follow-up to his debut called Love Kills. Coil joins me on the line now from New York via Zoom. Coil, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Thank you for having me.
Congrats on Do You Want to Dance, which is the latest single that we've heard from the album. It's a cracker of a tune. It's one of those kind of beautiful, timeless tracks that we've kind of come to expect from you. Tell us about the genesis of this song.
Well, it all kind of, this whole record kind of kicked off at the beginning of, the lockdown, whatever you want to call it, the pandemic. And I left, I live in New York and sort of left the city and headed up to the woods of a state called Vermont, like a little further north, and just kind of holed up and wrote and recorded most of the record up there in the first couple of weeks, first couple of months. It was kind of like instinct to kind of just throw myself into it. And Do You Want to Dance was one of the first ones I wrote, which is a weird kind of, feels like a weird song to write in the beginning of a pandemic, but I was kind of escaping, I think, into my imagination and missing the city a little bit, and that's what kind of came out.
It's funny, isn't it, how when we were all thrust into this kind of lockdown situation, a lot of our minds wandered to better times and hoping, missing all the things that we could do.
That's what I was doing, I suppose.
Yeah. Walk us through time in Vermont and the writing of the album. What kind of vibe did Vermont give you as opposed to staying at home in New York?
It was very peaceful, and it's very pretty, and we were in the middle of the woods kind of up there and didn't really see very many people, and there was a good liquor store nearby, so we well supplied, and I think it was just the peace and quiet, and I was able to kind of switch everything off and spend the days and the evenings kind of just writing and doing what I love to do. So I think it was a lot to do with just the quiet and the calm up there. It helped me sort of focus. And before I knew it, there was a couple of records worth, really, of songs finished.
Is that quite a typical scenario for you when you're writing your music, to go somewhere quiet?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'd never really thought about it. But looking back to kind of previous records that I've written, I tend to kind of like hole up for a little bit and kind of shut everything off and sort of focus only on this thing for a couple of months. So yeah, without really meaning to, I guess that's what I'd been forced into, and that's kind of what came out.
Now, as we mentioned, Funland is your second solo album, and it's following your 2018 debut LP called Love Kills. How did making Funland, differ from Love Kills? Obviously, Love Kills wasn't necessarily made during a pandemic, so I guess there's that number one difference. But tell us about what you were doing differently this time as opposed to the first time around.
I think it was again, circumstance to some degree, but I just wasn't really overthinking anything, and sort of, the album kind of wrote itself a little bit. It's like, I think back to the writing of it now, and it was very instinctive. I wasn't kind of overly obsessing over anything. I was kind of, oh, that's a cool sound, that'll do. Oh, that's a nice lyric, that'll do. I wasn't like obsessing like I have done in the past over lyrics or sounds or structures or whatever. And I think that was just because, maybe just the state of everything, maybe the place I was, that, I was very sort of, regardless of the outside world, it actually felt pretty calm up there. So I think, to that degree, it was different. Also, it was written up there, but it was recorded back in New York, or half of it was kind of recorded back in New York. So it was like a lot of making sure that when I brought it back into the studio in the city, that I didn't lose the vibe that I'd kind of sort of struck upon in that moment. And I ended up using a lot of the vocals and guitars and stuff that I recorded up there because I just couldn't quite capture whatever, you know, was going on at the time.
Tell us about the instrumentation on the album. Are you recording all of that yourself? Are you performing all of that? Or did you get some mates in to help you with that?
So, you know, initially, obviously, when I write it, I'll sort of scratch out a whole sort of demo. But, yeah, once I sort of decide, okay, this song is something that I want to put on a record, then I took the sort of final 12 or so songs into the studio, and a bunch of friends came in and laid down drums and guitars and bass and piano, because they can play them better than me. So.
tell me about that experience of recording throughout the, you know, awkward pandemic. I hate bringing up the pandemic, but I find it really fascinating how people pivot and adjust their workflow. So if you could walk me through that, did you have to make any adjustments because of COVID?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it was the first thing I kind of did once I got back to the city, because obviously I'd gone away for a couple of months to escape, really. And then I'd written an album without really meaning to write an album as soon as I kind of got up there. And so when I came back to the city, I was like, well, now I guess I have to record it. And so, you know, for a lot of the sessions, it was the first time anyone had seen anyone else for, you know, a couple of months. So it was all everyone was a little bit like they'd been on a spaceship or something for 6 months. Everyone's like a little sort of wide-eyed and, you know, are we allowed to be in a room together? And so I had to do, like, you know, everybody separate as well. Usually I would like to get the band in the room and record as much of it in kind of a take as I can, but it was a matter of kind of going through bit by bit. And so there was a couple of days with just the guitarist and a couple of days with just the drummer and a couple of days with the piano, and that was kind of the only way that it could work. And then there was COVID tests and not getting on the subway and all that kind of stuff to make sure everyone kind of stayed well, because this was pre-vaccine as well, so there was no vaccine yet when I was recording this.
Everyone
being super careful.
It's a weird thing coming out of lockdowns too, and suddenly having to work out how to speak to people and socialize in person again.
I've not figured it out yet. I still feel like I'm half a recluse at the minute. I'm like, shall I go out or shall I stay in? Everyone's got a little lazy. Everyone's a bit more comfortable on the couch.
I think I've put on probably 5 kilos just from all the eating I've picked up and all the sitting. Tell me about the tracks on the album and putting them together. You said this album kind of wrote itself and it was all very organic. I kind of want to dig into where your headspace was at when you were putting all the tracks together and forming the 12 or so tracks that make up Funland. I'm interested to hear where your headspace was.
Yeah, because, I mean, like normal, I'll write a whole load of songs. So, you know, there's 11 songs on Funland, but I, during that time, probably wrote about maybe about 20 or something that I kind of demoed up to the point where I was like considering them for the record. It was just the 11 that kind of felt like they went together the most. I mean, there's a couple that were like sort of obvious ones, you know, especially the ones that ended up being singles, like Fun and Do You Want to Dance. But then there was like some of the other kind of slower, like vibey stuff. And it really was just what kind of felt like it fit the mood of the rest of the album. You know, it's like up and down. It's like a little bit light and shade on the record. It has its like moments where it like kind of shifts gear here and there. And these like 11 just kind of felt right to me. So just some good songs that I really love that didn't go in because they just, I don't know, it's feel. They just didn't feel like they fit.
Is there a particular track on the album that's your personal favourite that we should be keeping a particular ear out for?
That always like changes. Yeah. But I think the one that I consistently love to listen to is from Seventh Street with Love. It's a different sort of song to maybe what I usually write. It's very kind of piano led. Purposely doesn't really have a chorus of any kind. It's like kind of lyric driven. And it's a love song to New York, which is, you know, the place that I call home. And, you know, obviously I'm English, so it's like an adopted home for me. But, I love living here and love the city and was missing it very much at the time. But, you know, I think it's, I think the lyrics can be sort of taken in a few ways. It can be about a person or it can be about a place. And, I love it. I love that song. It's a good vibe.
Tell me about your relationship with New York and the US. Obviously, you are English, and at some point you migrated over to the US. What brought you there?
That was my band, my old band, Your Vegas. Mm-hmm. We signed a record deal here to Universal a few moons ago out of college, university, and. And it's just been home ever since, you know, it kind of became our base. Once we, you know, signed there and our management was American based and just felt like home very quickly for all of us. And so, now it's like one of those things where, you know, I miss it when I'm not here and it really does feel like home. I've been here, you know, over 10 years now and feel like a New Yorker.
Now, Funland is out today. Tell us, what are the plans around the release? I see that you have a couple of shows in New York in March. Are there any other plans for something later on in the year, maybe a trip to Australia at some point? I mean, our borders opened this week. So.
I know, yeah, and there's no rules in England anymore. Hopefully, I really do hope so. I've worked on a bunch of stuff with Kelly Holiday and we were chatting about, you know, maybe at some point we could do something together in terms of dates down there in Australia, which would be awesome. We'll see. I mean, for the rest of the album, you know, there's down to South by Southwest and there'll be shows and in the US as the year goes by. But yeah, nothing planned for Australia yet, but I do every year I say I have to go down there and play. And so maybe 2022 is the year. I hope so.
Well, you do have that Australian connection with Kelly Holiday and the Peking Duck guys. Tell me about your working relationship with them. I guess most recently we would have heard you on Kelly Holiday's track Song Goes On. Which is a project of Adam of Peking Duck from what I understand. So tell us about how that kind of working relationship came about.
Their record label here in America introduced us a couple of years ago and we wrote together, spent a few days writing songs together here in New York. I love those boys and we wrote a lot of really good songs together and sort of continued writing and working together over the sort of coming years. And I kind of have jumped on as guest vocals when they've done US tours and in Europe a couple of times. Out of the kind of the songwriting sessions, one of the songs was the song that Adam recorded for the Kelly Holiday project. I've been working with Adam this year on a whole load more stuff for that project as well. So,
Cool. So there's more stuff on the way then.
Yeah. Some really, some bangers. As you
say. Well, that's an interesting thing because your voice, obviously is quite versatile, but it's such a contrast to what we hear from your other work, your solo work, as well as the stuff with your bands. So does it surprise you that your vocal can lend itself so well to dance music?
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't see it coming, actually. but it seems to, and people in that world seem to like putting my voice on stuff. So there is, I think it's like, it has that like, has that bigness to it. I think that's the thing. It has that kind of big tenor voice that, you know, lends, it requires putting your hands in the air or something. Listen to it. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it seems to work.
I love it. And do you have to, I guess, adjust how you perform or your performance kind of mode when you're playing a Peking Duck show as opposed to, you know, a Coil Girelli show? Are they different crowds that turn up? Like,
oh yeah, yeah. Actually, when we were touring here, I actually opened up some of the shows just with my acoustic guitar, and that was actually kind of terrifying. Usually, I don't really get nervous performing. I'm usually very, very comfortable, but opening up before their set, playing acoustic ballads, essentially was not, yeah, that was a little terrifying. But I think people who go to see them play just love music. You know, they love live music, they love having a good time, and I think I was appreciated no matter what. But on stage, they've always just good about like, go do your thing. Like, it's not really sort of micromanaged or anything. It's like, you know, you go do you on stage. So I've just gone done me.
Well,
it's worked.
Now, aside from the music we hear from you under your own name, you're quite the accomplished songwriter and producer for other artists. So you've written and produced tracks for the likes of Macklemore, even Westlife, Robin Schulz, Sam Felt, as well as Peking Duck, as we just mentioned, and BTS. They're some pretty big names. I'm curious to know what it's like to work with people in that kind of sphere or caliber. What's typically the writing process or producing process when you tee up that kind of stuff? How does it all get teed up, and what's it like?
It depends. I mean, if I'm writing from scratch, I usually always try do the same thing, which is just pick up a guitar and write a song. And you know, obviously you have the artist in mind, or you're with the artist or whatever when you're writing it, but always trying to find like a good song first, I think is the main thing. After that, it's like, it's collaboration, which is, can be magic when it works, can be a disaster when it doesn't, but it can be, can be magic when it works. And especially when you kind of mixing genres a little bit, you know, I'm not obviously a DJ, and, a lot of the DJs I work with aren't, indie kids, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm not Korean. I'm not a Korean pop star either. So, but you know, there's when you kind of mix people together, like you just get, sometimes you get a result that couldn't happen any other way. So, it's cool. I love it. I find it inspiring and challenging, and, and I'm proud of all that stuff.
Is there a lot of input from other arms of the industry when you are writing tracks for artists like that?
Sometimes. It depends on the artist. It depends on the label as well. But it depends. I think with BTS, they were very... You know, their whole team is so open and collaborative, and they were awesome to work with. Across the board. Sometimes you get A&R who, I don't know, throw ideas that aren't great into the mix that you've got to sit with for a moment. But for the most part, people are pretty good.
Coil Girelli, thank you so much for taking the time to unpack your new album, Funland, which is out today. I'm so excited that Australia gets to hear it first. So congrats on it, and can't wait to have you here on this side of the world at some point.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
That was New York-based English singer-songwriter Coyle Jarelli talking to us about his brand new album, Funland, which is out today. You can find more details on our website. Go to energy-groove.com. This is the Music Weekly. My name's Brad Jackson. We'll be back in the studio for you shortly to bring you more, so stay with us. Let's take a track from Coyle Jarelli now, lifted from the album Funland. This is Do You Wanna Dance?
Watching the weather in the 4x4 with the headlights on. You look pretty when you cry and pretty when you don't. Waxing the leather with the lipstick stains and your cigarette smoke. Oh my heart. Bathroom floor, my mat's gone numb. I guess I really should go home, but I can sleep alone. Testing the water till the light bulbs burst and the cows come home. Oh my heart.